You're listening to the Hope Shot Recovery Podcast.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Hope Shot. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Happy Sunday to everyone. Hey, I hate to break the bad news, but tomorrow's Monday, okay?
That's great news.
Is it great news, Nate?
I love Mondays, bro.
I love that.
I do. It's another opportunity to get it right, man, to do better, to show up different.
Yeah, man. Caesar is not with us tonight, so I'll have a moment of silence for Caesar not being here tonight. So the Hope Shot Clarity Statement. We here at the Hope Shot are a group of people in recovery spreading inspiration. We come from all different walks of life and pathways of recovery. Our verbiage may be different at times, but we all have one thing in common. Recovery is a lifestyle. We support all pathways of recovery. It doesn't matter how you get from A to Z, just get there. And thank you for being a part of our family. All right. So tonight, man, we figured we can get into a topic. I don't think we've talked about this in a long time, is relationships. Because that is like the pinnacle of all this stuff, is figuring out how to have a good relationship. And that goes through every relationship in our lives. The one with ourselves, the one with our parents, with our siblings, with the outside world, work people. I mean, you name it. Every relationship possible, the connection between people. It's navigating this life and how to have healthy communication between all these different relationships and keeping them in good standing. So I'm going to let Nate kick this off while I do some things. But yeah, I'm pretty excited for this one tonight. This topic's going to be a good one. So
kick it off, Nate.
All right.
I was looking at relationship quotes.
Oh, God. Yo, I was like, does he have the same shirt as me on?
No.
It's close, bro. It's close. No. It's green. It's blue. Well, come on.
It's a shirt with a box and a picture.
And green.
Okay. Anyway, I like this quote. It says, when we love, we always strive to become better than we are. When we strive to become better than we are, everything around us becomes better too. And I guess it's vital when talking about relationships, is what is a healthy relationship? And it's funny because it's not like healthy relationships weren't modeled for me, because I had the most loving and caring and functional family life. My mom and dad were married for 46 years. Before my mom passed, and they didn't fight, they didn't drink, they weren't abusive, they spoiled me, they loved on me. I had always had an idea of what a relationship should be like, and I understood that what it meant to be selfless and to put your partner first. I mean, as much as I could understand it back then, I just knew that I always believed in love because of my mom and dad. I was a romantic, and I had good, strong friendships when I was growing up too. But also, I'm an alcoholic, right? I have this mind that is always telling me that I'm not enough, or I'm not good enough. And I'm always irritable, restless, and discontent. I'm uncomfortable in my own skin, right? So I'm always looking for external circumstances, people, places, and things to define how I feel inside. And if that's not working, then I'm not working. And even if that was working, I would still feel uncomfortable until I found alcohol and drugs. And that's where relationships for me went out the window, because something shifted inside of me. I became terribly selfish and self-centered. All I really cared about was the next one. And I spent the next 20 plus years just completely decimating my body, my mind, my spirit, my heart, my soul. Anything that was good or pure or innocent was replaced with guilt and shame and regret. And all I did was take advantage and manipulate. And I lost sight of what it meant to be in a relationship. And I'm not just talking about an intimate relationship, but I'm talking about friendships. And most importantly, and my point is that I'm getting at, is I fell out of love with myself. I didn't love who I was anymore. I didn't even know who I was anymore. I had no idea. I had no identity, no self-worth, no self-esteem, no confidence. I was racked with insecurities, fears, and shame. And this is what I brought in to any interaction or relationship I had. I saw through the lens of how I felt inside. So naturally, I attracted that very thing. And when I get into recovery and I have all this baggage and I have all this stuff I'm carrying with me, and I've been alone, right? I've been alone for so long. And that was one of the things that I carried with me into recovery, was 20 plus years of being like desperately and utterly alone, right? And just longing and dying for any type of interaction, whether it be a friendship or a relationship or to be loved, like to be able to, you know, I always loved people. I just forgot how to receive it. I didn't think I deserved to be loved or I was worthy of it. And that's what been one of the greatest gifts of recovery, is discovering that I am a human being. I am worthy of being loved. I am worthy of friendships. I am worthy to be in a friendship. Not only am I able to give love today, but I'm able to receive it like I've never been able to receive it before. But the only way I could possibly get into a position to experience that is love myself first. And in order to love myself, I had to get to know myself. And in the process of getting to know myself, I had to forgive myself. And this takes work. And I had to go through a process. I had to get honest. I had to form a relationship with a higher power. And through that relationship and lots of hard work and going through the steps and then taking that experience and sharing it with another, you know, I began to be able to let go and forgive and start to, you know, at first I started to like myself, and then I started to fall in love with myself all over again. And I promise you that this is still a work in progress. Self-worth and self-esteem and security and stuff like that are something that I believe or something I really struggle with to this day. But I am light years away from who I used to be and how I used to see myself. And thankfully, I've been gifted with these tools and these practices and surrounded by people who encourage me, who challenge me to continue seeking and growing. And I believe that, first of all, my most important relationship is with, for me personally, I'll just say it, my most important relationship is with God. As long as I have that functioning, healthy relationship, I am on the right path. And in that relationship, I'm afforded all this grace. I am shown that not all this stuff that I went through in my past was for a greater purpose, everything that happened wasn't for nothing. It was for to be able to take that experience and share it with another. In that discovery, I can forgive myself. I can let go of that burden, and then I can start letting some light in. I can start letting some love in. And to me, my relationship with God is all about unconditional love. And experience and unconditional love, not just giving it, but being able to receive it, has been one. That's a difficult thing to do, especially for somebody that beat themselves up for 20 plus years and saw themselves the way I saw myself. But as soon as I started to be able, and last year I started this relationship, and man, I thought I was on solid ground. I thought I was really like spiritually fit. I thought love would conquer all, right? Love can conquer all, as long as I love good enough. And what I discovered is that relationships are more than love. Relationships are sacrifice. Relationships are prioritizing. Relationships are figuring out, letting go of control. It's not, you know, bringing somebody into my world and making them fit into it. It's about sharing who I am, my person, with another human being and seeing how we can make this world together. And it took a lot of pain. It took a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. I was very naive, very stubborn. And it took some time off to realize what's important to me. And what was important to me is that I believe that I could get so self-righteous that I still don't see that I have a shit ton of work to do. And I needed that space in order to see certain things about myself that I wasn't able to see. And thankfully, I was gifted with another opportunity to do this thing again. And it's been one of the most magical, one of the most challenging. It's been one of the most liberating experiences. And if I can just get out of the way, if I can take responsibility and understand that I don't have this figured out, especially relationships, how am I supposed to be? I have no experience. My frame of reference is skewed. It's based off a bunch of toxic patterns. I just never been in a healthy relationship before, and I've never been in one sober. And thankfully, I have a strong enough program. I have a strong enough connection to God to where I'm able to take responsibility, make some adjustments, and show up differently. Because for me, I think the most important part about relationships, you know, people say compromise and sacrifice, but I don't really see it as compromise or sacrifice if what I have is, I don't believe I'm sacrificing anything. I believe that I am adjusting. I am shifting. Just like I made a shift when I got sober to look at my life a little, like to maybe think that there was something bigger than me that could save my dumb ass. It's the same thing in a relationship. I make that slight shift and I just start seeing, you know, what, how would I feel if my partner, if I was in my partner's shoes? I start to see through her eyes instead of my own. This has been an exciting and beautiful and rewarding journey. And I have so much to learn. I'm still so like, I can find myself still not ready to receive love still at times, man. I'll still think I'm unworthy. I still think that that imposter syndrome. But one thing I do know is that, especially in my relationships today, if I'm leading with God and love and patience and tolerance, I have the ability to show up in a way that's authentic, that is aligned with my purpose and my truth. And I don't have to make excuses to anybody for that. Either you're on board or you're not. And I believe that there's no coincidences in this universe. I believe that God places people in our life exactly when we need them. And I'm just so grateful today to be able to experience friendship, to be able to experience an intimate relationship, to be able to have a relationship with my dad, with my brother, with my nephews, with strangers, with whoever. I'm available to anyone who wants to carry on a conversation. And it all is a direct reflection of how much I love myself, how close I am with God. What am I doing on a daily basis to enlarge and enrich and perfect that relationship? Because as long as that relationship is growing, then I have the opportunity to grow with another human being. And I can show up in a way that's not selfish and not self-centered. And I can put the interest of others before my own. And it's a wild ride. It's such a magical experience. And I'm just so grateful that I don't have to be alone anymore. I don't have to walk through this life alone. I don't choose to. I don't have to walk through this life alone. I get to surround myself with people who love me unconditionally, and I get to love them unconditionally back. What a gift. It's a miracle of recovery. We're only alone if we choose to be. And so very grateful to be on here tonight and be talking about something that's super important to me and that very relevant in my life today. And filled with love and gratitude. Even today, we had the most simplest day, you know, and that's the thing about the relationships and love. It can take the most simple, ordinary moment and turn it into and just magic and beauty. All the moments are they feel like they're infinite, you know. I'm grateful. I'm in love. And yeah, it's and I deserve it. I deserve to feel that way today. Because I put the work in, and I, as much as I'm able to give love today, I'm deserving and worthy to receive it. And I have to believe that, and I have to remind myself, and I have to continue to do this work to believe that on a daily basis. It's a conscious decision I have to make every day that I am worthy. And I pray that I continue to do the work to get closer to that truth, because I know there's a shit ton of work to do still. And I'm just grateful to be on this journey and doing the work. Let me fix my lighting. I feel like I'm like in the shadows.
I like that. I like how you said that, man. It's not really compromising or sacrificing, and it's just a shift. And that's exactly what it is. It's a shift in perspective. It's a shift in that I'm not the most important person in this fucking world, but at times I want to be. And I think that there's a lot less tantrums in my life because of it. Compromise is always a part of relationships to me. And as you put it, putting a shift. And that's just what it is, seeing it from another person's viewpoint, because that's what a relationship is. It's like, hold on, before I react, let me put myself in their shoes and see how they feel about the situation. Cause there for a long time, I could never do that. We were talking earlier about the topic and we were talking about empathy for people. And that's one way to do it, man. It's just putting ourselves in their shoes for a minute to see how we would like it. Would this behavior that I'm putting out to my partner or friend or whoever, would I like the same treatment? And I think if we could do that, dude, these relationships we have in our lives can be that much better for the overall whole.
Yeah. And Justin, and you know, that excuse that I don't have experience and I've never been there before. Hold on, my light's about to fall. Hey, bro.
What is it going?
I'm sorry. No, but that excuse only lasts so long. Either you have to, I'm not in the business of hurting people today, especially ones that I'm intimately close with. And if I have a strong enough connection with God, I understand that, like, inherently, like internally, I don't have room to do that anymore. But that's not enough. I have to put the work in to make the changes, to change the behavior so I don't continue to cause harm, not just in my, you know, close personal relationships, but in all my relationships and every interaction. How, I'm not in the business of hurting people today. How do I improve on that daily?
I've had a lot of relationships that I've had since I was a kid, really. And it's, I take a lot of people with me and it's hard for me to give those friends up at times because it's comfortable. It's like, I'm holding on to these people because I'm a socially awkward person as is. To meet new ones is a whole, like, I just want to go fix these ones and not having to go re-up on friends because it's a lot easier. And I've known them for so long and we've had some great times together in this life and recovery. We level up a lot. Like I've leveled up a lot since I hit the ground running in this recovery deal. I've been here for 5.5 years and each year has been another, I guess, aha moment in my life where I grow up. I'm growing up. Just in 5.5 years, I've grown up into this person that I am today. And it's funny because most of the time I'm holding on to this, all this other shit from in the beginning of my recovery. I'm holding on to all this shit that I don't want to give up. I'm resisting the process of recovery because of the comfortability of what it is of, yeah, I'm not using, I'm not putting stuff in me, but I'm still living the same kind of messed up life, the chaos that I enjoy because it's built in me. And as soon as I started letting some things go, relationships, friends, it seems like the ones that were meant to be comes back to you. How many people have friends that they gave up because of recovery and they come back and they join recovery, or you see them in the meeting, or they change their life and they start being healthy people. So it's like, yeah, we could do this again. And that's as they say, I forget what the saying is, let them fly and they come back. It was meant to be. That's a relationship. It's not just intimate relationships, boyfriend and girlfriend. One thing Ito from Breaking New Ground, he always says, into me you see. I really like that because they say the eyes are the window to the soul. And it's like really knowing a person and not just like hanging out with them because they do drugs and alcohol is a totally different vibe. It's a totally different vibe. Like I used to hang out with people just because we did the same stuff. We used. I never really wanted to know a person. We just knew how to get fucked up together. I never really cared about knowing people. I always thought it was like a tit for tat relationships. I'm going to get you before you get me kind of situation. I was talking to somebody last night at a meeting, John, and we were talking about just like when I first got into recovery, I didn't trust anybody. Well, I could because I couldn't trust myself. And how the hell am I going to trust somebody else when I know the dirty shit that I've done and you're going to do the same shit to me as I do to people? I'm untrustworthy. So I have to build that trust back with myself in order for me to actually trust people. Everything starts and ends with me. And for 23 years of my life, I tried to kill all my pain, all my misery that I was causing to myself with drugs and alcohol. Instead, what I really needed was to show myself some love and some grace and forgive myself. And that's when things started to turn around. As soon as I started just loving myself a little bit more, that's when things started to shift. And as Nate said, that shift, there's shifts in this thing, man. The shifting of perspective, the shifting of how I see myself, how I view people, how I view life. Life doesn't beat me down as much as it used to because I'm not in love with the chaos. I'm in love with the peace. And every day I try to get closer to that and less away and get away from the chaos as much. I'm not saying every day is like a bundle of joy and I'm just like floating over here. It's, I wish it was like that, but it's not. But if it was like that, we'd be robots, right? We have to have a mix of it all in order for us to appreciate the peace and the blessings that we get in our lives. Because like today, I had a hard day, man. It was stressful. My neck hurts. I feel beat down sometimes, man. Life is full. And I got a bad attitude, man. I was just like, and what did I do? First thing I did, I came home. I sat in this room right here. This room right here is more than just my computer. This is my office. This is my sanctuary, okay? I have a little comfy chair over here that I sit and I just put in AirPods, man. I just bring it down, right? I'm up here. I need to bring it down a couple notches, right? Before I start beating myself up again, because that's exactly when I feel that discomfort, that discontent. That's when I like to beat myself down. That's when I like to beat other people up. I'm not saying like physically, but emotionally, verbally, you name it. Like, it's a bad life. It's not a bad life. It's just a bad, it's not even a bad day. It's a bad minute. And then I take that minute and stretch it out into as far as I can stretch it because I want to bring everybody else with me too. I want to bring everybody else in this chaos and this hurt that I'm having because I had a one moment where I'm not feeling exactly up to par, but that is life, right? That is life. We're not supposed to feel like sunshines and rainbows all the time, but I can get back to that place of sunshines and rainbows if I choose to. It's a choice. So the relationship with myself has to be one of my best investments. It has to be because everything that happens, it starts, ends with me. And then I put it out into the world. What am I putting out into this world? How is my relationships with my wife? How is my relationship with my kids, with Nate, with social media people? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, we can go down rabbit hole with every relationship, every encounter that I have. They will feel that 1 minute of me not having a good day, and they will feel it like 20 times, okay? But I don't want to. I don't want to. So that's what I did, man. I came home. I drank some water because we all know we got to stay hydrated, right? And then I sat in my chair, and I put in some AirPods and listened to something with Surrender because you know what? It's exactly what you need to do. That's what I needed to do in that moment before my wife and kids that had an awesome day. I just start bump. That's right. Had an awesome day. I'm going to ruin their day by my little tantrum for that moment. And I just didn't want to spill out that fire. I didn't want to vomit all over their day. I changed it. It's those little things, man. It's those little things that add up. I'm not saying that like this all of a sudden out of the gate, I was just like, this, you know, this stuff worked. 5.5 years. And this year is when I started to actually change some things because I was tired. It's tired. You can get tired here too. You get tired in recovery, tired of your own shit. You get tired of just beating yourself against the wall so many times instead of trying some other way. And I'll tell you, my relationship with my wife is probably the best it's ever been. You know what I mean? We came into this recovery thing broken, like super broken. And we didn't trust each other. We didn't have a good relationship. I didn't know how to have a good relationship because again, my whole life has just been toxic chaos. And it's exactly what every relationship I ever had was. But this is the kicker. It has to be two people willing to change, willing to work on things and see their part, right? It's exactly what it takes. Two people willing, the willingness to change those things. And she followed suit with me, and we've been in this recovery thing, and we don't take each other's inventory as much as we want to. We stay away from those arguments, right? Because that'd be a whole shit show. But yeah, man, I'm grateful for this recovery process. It gives me a chance to actually grow closer to her and have a good relationship with my kids. It's all the way around, man, all the way around. But yeah, that's all I got.
Stuff, Justin.
Thank you.
Hey, guys. Happy to be here. Yeah, you guys have both shared some great stuff. I love what you said, Nathan, about that first relationship, or that most important relationship stemming from your higher power, who I choose to call God too. Like, it's the more I've worked on my relationship with him, the more I've been able to work on the relationship with myself and can recognize who I am and what I like and what are my triggers are, and find out why I do this and why I feel this way and why I act out this way. That when I started working on that relationship is when I was able to start working on the relationship with myself. And through working on the relationship with myself, I've been able to have healthier relationships. My relationship starting from a young age, I didn't have that happy childhood. I remember being very little and my dad was abusive. I have like horror stories that I'm not going to get into, but just of being so young and remembering things between my mom and my dad. And then my mom got in another toxic relationship after that. So as a young child, relationships seemed conditional to me. Like, when I was good and when I did good things, I got good acknowledgement. And my mom, she would be happy. And that's what made me feel loved, was when my mom felt happy when I did good things. But if I did bad things, or not even necessarily doing bad things, I internalized it as bad things because my mom was in a dysfunctional relationship. So she wasn't a happy person. She wasn't a loving person. There wasn't a lot of love there. For a long time, like, I remember going to school and working really hard because acknowledgement and atta girls and teachers and good grades and stuff got me some positive attention and made me feel worthy, where I didn't feel worthy at home. Like, it didn't matter. I just felt like nothing was ever good enough. And for good reason. As an adult now, I can see that my mom was in a dysfunctional relationship. She was consumed by it. But as I got a little bit older, I had some close friends, but then when boys came in the picture, you put expectations on people, you put expectations on your friends, and you start finding out that they're not who they say they are, or they let you down, or they betray your trust. And then by the time I was probably like, after I had, you know, a couple of best friends that did me dirty, and after I had a couple boyfriends that did me dirty, and after I had a mom that put me in a girl's home, I was, screw everybody. I can't depend on nobody. All I have is myself. It's just me. And let's not forget, I became that friend too. Like, I remember I had my best friend, Nicole, and she had her first boyfriend when I got with him right after her. So I became that friend that let people down too. And like you were saying, Justin, once we start doing those things, we're thinking other people are doing them. Like, things happen to us, and then we justify doing bad stuff to other people. But once we start doing the bad stuff to other people, then we expect every person that we come in contact with to do us dirty, because that's what we know. That's what we've experienced. Also, I remember being in active addiction, or as I got older, I really, like, I was friends with people that I benefited from. If I was hanging out with you, like you said, we were either partying together, or I was getting something from you, like, in some way, shape, or form, you were letting me stay with you. You had a vehicle. It was very rare that I would just hang out with people and have friends like that. And that went on for a really long time. Like, I didn't have real friends. I wasn't close to my family. We would get close, and then there would be some small confrontation. Nobody knew how to communicate in a healthy way. And I'm a very self-righteous person too. If you don't see things my way, I would place expectations on people that they had no idea. And then when things didn't plan out the way I wanted, or they didn't do what I wanted to, well, they just weren't a good friend. You know what I mean? Like, I put a lot of expectations on people. So by the time I got an active addiction, like, I really, if you weren't benefiting me in some sort of way, I didn't have time for you. By the time I had kids, you know, the people I hung out with, they were either helping me babysit my kids, helping me pay my bills, helping me do something, or I wasn't hanging out with them. And when I got into recovery, I started working on that relationship with God, right? I started working on that relationship with myself, because at this time, when I got into recovery, when I hit rock bottom and when I first walked into recovery, I didn't have a good relationship with my mom. My grandma didn't trust me. I wasn't talking to my sister. My kids were in foster care. My oldest wasn't talking to me. My younger one still thought the world of me because I could do no wrong in their eyes. I remember having a visit with my son and he's, "Mommy, when do I get to come home?" And I said, when mommy's working on herself right now so she can be a better mommy. And he says, "But you are a good mommy." And that just broke my heart. I could do no wrong in his eyes, but I had messed up some important relationships. So before I could even begin to work on those relationships, I had to work on the relationship with myself. I had to work on all the things that I said I was going to do that I didn't do, all the lies that I told myself, the way I talked down to myself. Like I didn't find myself very worthy either. Like I had made such a mess of things that, like, I remember before I even prayed, I was like, "Man, why am I even going to pray? I prayed to this man so many times. And all I do is turn around and go back and do the same thing. He must think I'm a joke." But that's how I felt. I felt like a joke. I would literally be sitting there ready to get high and be praying to God, "Please God, don't let me get high." And then I go and get high. It was ridiculous. So that's why I talked to myself the way I did. That's why, because I knew that I was such a manipulator, even to myself. I manipulated myself. I manipulated others. I felt manipulated by others. So I just didn't trust anybody. If you were in my life, I was wondering what you wanted from me. What do they want? But I went into a recovery house, right, with a bunch of girls, and I started building these relationships and finding out that just because people don't agree, people are in different paths, they can still have love and respect for each other. You know, you can love people from a distance. You can still treat people like a human being. You don't have to wipe your hands of them because they see things differently than you. You don't have to turn your back on them because they can't get it. That conditional love that I grew up with, I learned how to be more unconditional. I learned how to, like, through loving myself and having compassion and grace through myself for myself, I learned how to show grace and compassion to other people, because I had a God that had forgiven me and shown me so much grace and mercy that I was able to give it to other people. And it just really changed my mindset. I changed people, places, and things, right? I changed the people that I had around me. They were people that uplifted me. They were people that were positive. They were people that were on the same path as me. And before, like I said, before I could get onto those relationships with my family and with my children, I had to be in a good place with myself. And with a little bit of step work and a little bit of being honest and some meditation and prayer, I got to a place where I was able to trust that when I walked out of the house, that I was going to do the next right thing for the next right reason, and that I was going to treat people with love and compassion. So I started looking at people like that I didn't want to hurt anybody either, hurt people. And I knew that I wasn't out to hurt people anymore, that I wasn't just talking to you because I wanted something from you. So it helped me to be like, "Oh yeah, they're talking to me because they want to talk to me. I don't have nothing to offer them. So they must just want to talk to me." So this is a really good one, because I've been working on my character defects like this whole year, right? Because those bad boys, they like to show up in any type of relationship. If I don't get my way or I'm having a rough day, talk about ruining everybody's day because you're in a bad mood. That's what it was for me. If you were in my life and you were close enough to me, you were usually my punching bag. And that was for everybody. If I had a really good day, man, you knew I had a really good day. But if I had a really bad day, or or sometimes you wouldn't even know. It would be like after 30 minutes of me just ripping you to shreds over something small that you did. And I remember back in the, like, I used to go off on people. And when people, like, after I would just lay into them for no reason, this is what I would say. I would be like, "Well, you know, I'm not usually like that. So obviously something was bothering me. Like, you should know me better than that. Like, you should know if I'm calling you names and I'm acting like that, did you ever think to maybe ask me what was going on with me?" That's how I was. I think that's called a narcissist, I'm pretty sure. But that's how I was. It was like up to you to figure out what was wrong with me and then to act accordingly. You know what I mean? Like how dare you not realize that something's going on? And that's how I was. And I've had to learn that my triggers are not people's responsibilities. So I and sometimes that's a bad thing, because I'll be honest with people and I'll tell them, listen, I'm very sensitive to this type of thing. And I'm very sensitive to this type of thing. And part of me expects that since I'm telling them that to be mindful of it, but no, I need to be mindful of it. I need to be mindful because usually it's not the person, it's the situation. Right. It's the situation and how it's triggering me and how I'm reacting to it, to that person. So that's what I've learned the most like this year. And I'll tell you what, like when I first got in recovery, the one suggestion that I took was no relationships for a year. And I thought that to this day, that was the best suggestion. Because even after that first year, I had this nice, serene life. Just like you were saying, Nathan, I was so spiritual. I was going to meetings all the time. Life was good. I got my kids back. I got an apartment. I had an awesome job. Life was good. And I started dating a guy from another area. And I remember immediately the thoughts, there would be nothing wrong, right? It's just the relationship was a little bit off because maybe there wasn't any communication. But the way my mind started going and just making stuff up and getting myself all worked up over nothing, I was like, ooh, girl, you sick. You're still sick. So I ended up getting out of that relationship because it became evident to me that that wasn't a relationship that I needed to be in, that I had more work to do because I saw that going toxic real quick by just my thoughts. And that was at that point that I realized, I'm like, I think God just wants me to continue to work on a relationship with myself and continue to work on the relationship with my kids. And that's one of the biggest relationships I'm working on now is with my kids. I have an oldest daughter who's not talking to me, and that's just where we're at. And that's okay. I have faith that relationship's going to come back around full circle, and I'm just giving it space. I don't need to force her to talk to me. I don't need to, like, I give it to God. But I remind myself that I have a very close relationship with my mother today, but that was not the case when I was in my 20s. Like my mom, if I was calling her because I needed something and if she didn't give me my way, I was telling her everything about herself. So I keep that in mind. But, you know, just working on those character defects, because right now that's my character defects come out with my children. I have to remember that they're teenagers. And when they don't do what I want them to do, I take it as like the ultimate disrespect, right? And instead of trying to get them to change, I have to sit back and be like, why do I take it as such disrespect? It's because it's a control thing, right? I can't control them. And then what also goes off is I don't trust them either. And then they're not bad kids, but I go back to projecting like what I did when I was a kid onto my kids. And I'm like, you should see me. I'm over here playing detective, yet I have to stop myself. But I was actually just talking to somebody over the weekend about like character defects and stuff. And I think that's why I've been working on these things so much, because in order for me to have a healthy relationship with anybody, I have to be able to recognize certain things that trigger me, right? Certain things, because usually if somebody does something that triggers me, it's a spot it, you got it type of thing for me. If somebody, I'm very critical of others because I'm critical of myself. If somebody lets me down because I put an expectation on them, I immediately start projecting all the time somebody's let me down. And then it's, oh my gosh, you let me down. Yeah, I got to get out of this because I got to get out of it before I get hurt. You know what I mean? I can't get too close because I that feeling of being abandoned and hurt in the past comes rushing back in. That's why it's so important for me to take this time and figure out like why I'm reacting, that it's probably has very little to do with the person that's standing right in front of me and everything to do with me and unhealed pain and unhealed and wounds that I haven't worked on. Right now, my relationship with my kids have gotten way better. I'm starting to catch myself before I just lay into them, that whole like dictatorship that I grew up in. I'm trying to not be so much like that and just showing like more love and compassion to people, less judgment, not being so self-righteous, because there are other ways to see a situation. There are other ways to approach a situation. Like my way is not the right way all the time. The other thing is like being, is realizing that there are relationships that are meant to end, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. One of my best friends, like we didn't really use together, but like we drank together, and she's my best friend, and she's not an addict or an alcoholic, but she drinks a lot. She's on the weekends and stuff. And I like, our paths go like this. So on birthday parties, we'll meet up in different special occasions here and there, but I don't see her that often. She's a lifelong friend. I mean, we've had children together. She is my friend of 20 plus years. And I wouldn't say that I've leveled up from our friendship. We're just on different paths, right? So she's married. She's over here doing this. I'm over here doing that. And we link up. But as far as like being in our lives every single day, I might send her a text, say, I miss you, I love you. But it's not that close relationship like it was for many years. And that's okay. That's okay. And I'm learning to be okay with that. Like, people come in your life for different reasons. They come in your life for different seasons. And it's on us to let go when it's time to let go. For me, when my energy's off, I don't go around people. Like, I feel bad because my kids don't get that luxury of me not going around them. But I will go in my room and just leave me alone, because sometimes my energy is off and I just need that time to like sit by myself. Because I still, to this day, knowing everything I know, if I'm in a bad mood, you'll know it. If you walk in a room and my energy is some type of way, you'll know it. Like, I got one of those people faces. Like, I can't hide it. I can't walk into a room and pretend like everything's okay when it's not. But today I surround myself with people in recovery, surround myself with people that are doing the same thing, that growth. So today I have healthy relationships with men and women, And that's because today I have a healthy relationship with myself, and I have an even better relationship with God. That's all I got.
Awesome. Hit the button. There's a button somewhere. Yeah.
Just real quick before you close this out, Justin. No, I just, something you said and made me think, Christina, and if I have the capacity to understand where that everybody has a story, they came from somewhere. I just love to death people. I know someone in my life right now that has had a hard upbringing, came from a very dysfunctional situation, and yet they're so loyal and so loving, and they work so hard to not be that person, to give their kids a different life, to be in a better. So like, kudos to people that have come from a dysfunctional past and still have the capacity to love and to care in a way that they never received. I think it's one of the most beautiful things to witness. And if I can go into, and that, my point being is, if I can go into all my situations, all my interactions, all my relationships, understanding that this person that I'm dealing with has a story. They're coming from a place where I have no idea. I could be empathetic and compassionate towards that and understand like that this isn't personal a lot of the time. They're basing their reactions, their reality off their personal experiences. And if I can have some grace and compassion for that, I'm in a much better position to love and be patient and tolerant. It's a beautiful thing, though, of people that I see it all the time that just have not had the privilege of a great family growing up and been in some very dark, horrible situations, yet have this beautiful capacity to love and to strive to be different and better. It's a gift to be around, and I'm just grateful to see that and see my friends and families and loved ones overcome that and still just be good people. It's a miracle. That's all.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nathan.
Thanks, Nate. Yeah. And Christina, one thing that is that passing down our own experiences to our children. Like, I know you up some, because I was up some, so I know you up some right around that age. And it's work to do, to not push our own shit on them. Mm-hmm. I talk about that a lot, because I've worked on that one issue a lot. And I let them just be kids. They have their own path and their own story they're creating, and they don't need me meddling in it. You know, it's like the evil villain in their story.
You can meddle
a little bit, dude. Like, listen, I have pretty good kids, man. Like, they're pretty,
I do too.
Good.
I do too.
We do have some good kids, man. And yeah, things are a little different. And not everything's a freaking plot. bring down Kumba.
I really enjoy this topic, man. I think we should talk about relationships a lot more. You know what I mean?
Yo, I hope you guys got something out of this relationship talks. Maybe it's something you can work on. Maybe it's something that you need to work on and you haven't and you have to. Or maybe it's just something to go in the week to think about and really reflect on. I think that's the beautiful part about this whole deal and us doing this podcast is we get to reflect for the week about how we can change and how we can manifest things into our lives to make it better, either practicing the pause, having those hard conversations, or stop throwing your trauma on your damn kids. We love you guys. Thanks for being here with us, and we'll see you next week. Peace. We'll be right back.